Well, to cheer you up this morning, I want to show you a picture. You ever seen a picture that cheered you up? Anybody show you anything? Sometimes you see all kinds of funny pictures. We were driving down the road, and my son Grant was giggling, and he had his phone. And I said, "What's so funny?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Tori sent me this picture, and it was a picture of a gas pump, and alongside of the gas pump, I don't know if you've ever seen that, they put advertising. So they on the side of this gas pump was a big thing for Mountain Dew along the side of this Mountain Dew, and the person had wrote this. They said, "The Mountain Dew coming out of this dispenser tastes horrible. Can somebody please change this and fix this?" And so we were both giggling. But maybe you've seen a picture of something that cheers you up. We can see things that are funny. We can see things that are beautiful. Are you having a bad day? Look at a beautiful picture. That's why, you know, some on our wallpaper, not on your wall, but on your computer or your phone, some of you have inspirational sayings or a beautiful picture of something or a picture of your kids or a picture of not your kids. You know, whatever it is that cheers you up, kind of lightens your heart a little bit. So I want to show you a picture today to cheer you up. If we can just show that picture right here, here is this picture. And I know what some of you are thinking. It's dead. I thought you were going to show me a picture to cheer me up. I mean, this is a horrible picture. It's a dead sunflower. How is that supposed to cheer me up? You know, wait a second. This isn't funny. This isn't beautiful. This is depressing. You're showing me dead flowers. I mean, come on. It's not happy. It's sad. It's dried up. Its glory days are past. I mean, it's ugly. It's just hanging there. It's a dead flower. There is nothing cheerful about a dead flower. And I'm fairly certain that none of you have, you know, a picture like this on your wallpaper. It's like, oh, dead flowers. Wow, how inspiring. You know, I do, but then that's a different thing. But here's the thing. We look at this and we say, this doesn't encourage me. This doesn't do anything. I mean, if anything, show me a live sunflower. Show me a sunflower that is vibrant. You know, the sun is shining on it. It's just bright yellow leaves and got that big round face. It's just so pretty. Have you ever seen a picture of one of those, right? Some of you may have a picture of something like that you use to encourage you. And the sun is shining and this beautiful sunflower is there. Maybe there's a little bird, you know, flying by or a honeybee, you know, just this perfectly placed. And oh, now that's a cheerful photo. That's something that will cheer me up in this picture. Not this old, dead, dry, ugly sunflower that's already dead. But here's the reason why I want to use this photo to cheer you up. And here's the premise behind what I want to talk to you about today is this dead, dry sunflower, for the season that it's in, it's absolutely perfect. For the season that this sunflower is in, it is absolutely perfect. It is doing exactly what it should be doing. It's right where it needs to be. It looks just like it needs to be. It's acting just like it needs to be. It is absolutely perfect. And if you saw this picture and you go, There's something wrong with this picture. This isn't cheering me up. This isn't a happy photo. This isn't a lively photo. The problem isn't with the picture or the flower. The problem is with you. Turn to somebody, say, the problem is with me. And I don't mean point at me. Point to yourself. The problem is with me. Here's the problem. You are using expectations from another season to judge where this flower is in its current season. This season of fall is what this flower should be looking at. And yet you're looking at it and say, well, it doesn't look like summer. It's brown, it's not green. It's all withered, it's not bright and yellow. You are using the summer season to judge where this perfect flower is in the fall season. So if we look at this flower in light of the season that it is in, this flower is pure perfection. Now do you see this picture differently? If this flower could talk, it would be rejoicing. I am right where I need to be. I am doing exactly what God made me to do. I look like what God created me to look like in this moment. I have so much to be thankful for. I have so much to rejoice about right now in my brown, withered, dried, drooping state. I'm perfect. And the reason I wanted to use this flower and this picture to cheer you up is that this is some of you. Some of you are right where you need to be. And you're perfect. You're perfect. You don't have to worry that you're right where God planted you. And the problem isn't the situation. The problem is, again, with you, is that you, in the perfection of where God has you in the moment, of where life is in the moment, you are depressed, you are miserable, you are unhappy because you are using a different season to judge where you are at in your season right now. You're right where God wants you to be, and you've missed the beauty of where you're at. You've missed the reason why you should be rejoicing, because we are so tempted to judge our lives out of season. You're miserable. We're oppressed when we need to be rejoicing because we're right exactly where God has us in His perfect plan. The problem, again, isn't with the circumstance. The problem is with us because we use where we were so often to judge where we are. We judge and we look at ourselves and we get down and we say, well, I have no reason to worship. I have no reason to smile. I have no reason to be joyful in my heart. I've got a lot of situations in my life. I've got a lot of things that I'm going through right now. My life is a mess right now. I'm wrestling with some things right now. I'm not blessed. I'm feeling that I'm cursed. I mean, look at me. I'm dead. I'm drying. I'm looking like I'm old and just my life is just a mess right now. And we look at ourselves and we're missing it. We're judging ourselves out of season. And we could say, well, Pastor, that sounds good. That sounds really good. But you have no clue what I'm going through. You have no clue. I'm dealing with personal situations. Or I'm dealing with family situations. Or my life is crazy right now. It just seems like it's completely out of control. Or I'm dealing with emotional problems right now. Or I've got relationship issues. Or there's a spiritual issue in my life, right? You just don't know. I'm dealing with battles. Lord, it's just easy for you to get up there and just say, be happy. It's easy for you to get up there and just say, just you have a reason to rejoice. You don't see the circumstance that I'm in, and I would argue back, it's not the circumstance. Once again, it's our measurement that you're looking at your life out of season. And just like this beautiful, perfect picture, I want to give you a verse this morning to cheer you up. Ready? And here's the verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, how many thought I was going to put like a really bad verse up here, right? Something depressing. It's like, offer your bodies living sacrifice, and just like, oh. No, this is a beautiful verse. How many know this verse or have heard this verse or have sung this verse? Can we just say this together? It's such a lovely, powerful verse. Let's say it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, how many have memorized this at least some point in their life, that you know this verse. This is something familiar. When I showed this to you, you go, oh yeah, I know that verse. It wasn't something new. It wasn't something that's like, oh, I didn't realize that was in the Bible. Oh, some of you are just like, yeah, I've sung it. There's songs based on this. It's a verse that if I started this verse, most of you could probably finish it. It's part of who we are. We know this verse, but I bet none of you know the words right before this verse. You could quote this verse. You may have cross-stitched this verse. This may be your life verse. And I bet none of you know the words that come right before this verse that makes this verse so cool. Because we look at this and we go, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, bless the Lord at all times. And that's really easy to do when things are going right. It's really easy to do that. It's like, oh yeah, man, I got the job I wanted. I'm blessing the Lord at all times. I'm thankful. Hey, it worked out. Hey, you know, I don't have to pay this, or, you know, they paid me this. And this is good. It's a good day. It's a happy day. Things are going well. I will bless the Lord. And we like to use these verses when it's easy. We like to use this as the basis. I wish my life would be in a position where I could say this, right? I wish God would change my circumstance so that I could do this. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying to live in a place where this can be true in my life. And we like this verse. We want this verse. But we miss what this verse is all about. Because if we can just roll back just a few words and see the words that come right before this. Can we do that, Carol? Can we show them? A Psalm of David. When he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away and he left. Now, how many of you said, oh yeah, I love that part. That's the thing that makes that verse so special. You didn't even know that. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth, said David as he pretended to be insane. That's what makes this verse so powerful. It's a wonderful story. David is running from one king. He's running from the king of Israel that would try to kill him, King Saul. And he is captured by another king, King Abimelech, who is the king of the Philistines. Now, let me just give you a little brief history here. There was another guy who was a Philistine that David killed, right? His name was what? Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. He was their champion. And David killed him. So guess what? David wasn't real popular with the Philistines. They weren't fans of David. And David is out with his men, and David is captured by the Philistines. And they're like, oh my goodness, we have captured David. Our king is going to be very happy. He finally gets to settle the score. And so David is in captivity of his enemy. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about in your life. That it feels like you are in captivity of something that wants to destroy you. You are under the oppression of something that wants to harm you, to hurt you. And so David is in captivity, and they are bringing him before the king. And his only solution, the only thing he can try to figure out how to do this, is he acts like he's crazy. Now, of all the pictures that we have of David, and we don't actually have pictures. Nobody was there capturing. Smile, David. You know, but in our mind, when we hear the stories, we see David the warrior, right? We see David the shepherd, okay? We see David with the slingshot, right? It's like, I come against you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, you know, fighting the giant. David, you know, this ruler. David the worshiper, right? Worship, we sing songs like, we have the spirit of David, right? We want to worship like David. I've never heard anybody say, man, I want to be act crazy like David. And in scripture, the scriptures tell us a little bit about the story. They said he was faking an epileptic seizure. We don't picture David like this. Now, I'm not going to do that to bring a point, because some of you, I would never be able to stand up here and preach again if I was trying to fake this. Like, that's not funny. But imagine David. There he is. Says he was spitting all over himself. Said he had spit running down his face and his beard. He was on the floor acting like he was having a seizure. He was acting crazy. Now, imagine the extent that he had to act for the king of the Philistines to look at David and think, you are so pitiful, you're not even worth killing. You are so miserable, you aren't even worth me killing. This is the depths of depravity that David found himself. I have no pride. I'm at my wit's end. I have nothing to do. They're making fun of me, and that's where I'm at. I have nothing left to do but just throw it all, every bit of pride, every bit of self-worth, every bit of thing. I am just throwing it away, and here I am acting like I'm insane just to save my life. And it's out of this moment. It's out of this circumstance. When it looks like life could get no lower. When life could get no harsher. When humility could get no more oppressive. That my life is at stake. My reputation is at stake. My worth, my self-worth is at stake. Everything that David had was stripped away. And out of this moment is where we see this verse coming. Rewind back to that verse. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What did David discover? What was different? That in the midst of this, if David were to judge this moment in light of all of the other moments, how could he say, this is a time that's worthy of praise? He couldn't say, here I am rolling around on the floor, babbling like an idiot. And compare that to, remember when I was standing before Goliath? Remember when God was with me and they anointed me king? Remember when I fought that bear and that lion? If I were to use that season to judge this season, there is nothing good here. But if I look at the season that God has me in, and something that God is doing, that God provided a way for me to survive, that God is doing something in me, that God is reminding that you can lose everything and your story is still not over, I'm still with you. Even if you have to pretend, even if you are in a place that they're trying to take your life, that God has not abandoned me, and I am walking out of here knowing that I can go to the deepest of the depths of the darkest of the moments, and God is with me. And so even though it's not my highlight moment, there is still something in this season when I look at it from the perspective that says, oh, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Now, do you see this verse differently? That this is a verse that we can quote now with a greater depth. This is, hey, man, I'm not in a good season, but you know what? God is doing something here. I can find something to worship God about. Because I know this is true, that some of you are here today and you're wrestling tough situations. That some of you are here today and you're looking at days gone by where things were much better, that you were much stronger, that there was much more hope, that there was much more optimism, that your finances were better, that your family were better, that your relationships were better. And you're saying, in light of where I've been, this is not a good time. But if we would just stop for a minute and say, God, what are you doing in me right now? God, there is something going on in this season that is part of your plan for my life, and I'm missing it because I'm looking at someplace else. God, give me the vision of what you're doing for me right now. Because when I see that in this season, it gives me reason to rejoice. When I see where I'm at in this season, it gives me hope. When I see where I'm at in this season, it says, I'm beautiful. This is lovely. God is doing something in me. I'm right where I need to be. We say this term a lot in the holiday time around Christmas. We say it's the reason for the season. But we need to realize that there is no one season. That if we would take that and allow that to be part of our everyday life, no matter what season of life you are in, when we find the reason for the season, it changes everything. When we look at this flower and the reason for this season is, you know what? You're supposed to be dried up. You're supposed to look like this. This is where you can rejoice because you have found the reason and the purpose behind it. You are exactly where you need to be. And the same is true in our life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's another verse that maybe you know and can quote. He has made everything beautiful in its time. There's songs written about this. There's little things and little paintings have been made and pictures have been made and people slap this verse on top of beautiful pictures. But here's the deal. This verse comes at the end of a list of beautiful things. And the writer of Ecclesiastes lists all these things. He says, hey, here's a time to be born. Oh, that's so beautiful. We love babies, don't we? Oh, we get so excited for babies. The Hoffmans are going to be ready to introduce a new little baby here just about any day. Just not today. Hold on. And you know what we're going to do? They're going to bring that little baby in. We're going to go, oh, it's so precious. Right? We've got little babies here. I love babies. They're just so cute. So cute. See them toddling around. Oh, we love just those young things. And he says, and a time to die. Wait a minute, that's not beautiful. We don't like the death of things. The death of a relationship. The death of a dream. The death of somebody we love. He says, there's a time to build up. Man, don't you love it when somebody comes to you and just builds you up? Man, I love your smile. Man, you are a good person. Man, I like you. Man, yeah. We like that. But he says, and a time to tear down. Have you been through times in life where there's been some tearing down in your life? Some tearing down in your situations. He says, there's a time to laugh. We love to laugh. He says, and there's also a time to weep. There's a time to gain and a time to lose. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. And he goes through all of these things and he summarizes it with this, with that verse. He has made everything beautiful. In its time. That on blessed days, there's beauty. There's a reason to rejoice. On days of hardship, there's beauty. And there's a reason to rejoice. On good days and bad days, it's beautiful. No matter what the season, there is a reason to rejoice and be glad. Turn to somebody, tell them, it's your season to rejoice. Trying to cheer you up today. Trying to cheer you up today. Because here's the thing. We think cheer is based upon our season. And so often our prayer is this. God, change my season. God, change my season. Change my circumstance. Fix this, and then I can rejoice. Heal this, and then I can rejoice. Resolve this, and then I can rejoice. You know, we do things... You know, a church kind of thing. We do testimonies, right? And we stand up and we give God thanks. It is rare, if ever, that someone ever stands up and gives a testimony on something that isn't completed. Hey, I just want to thank God that I found out I was really sick today. Isn't God awesome? Woohoo! And then sit down. We're like, what is wrong with them? We need to pray for healing of their mind. Right? What do we say? I'm so glad that God healed me and brought me out of one season into the season that I wanted. I've never heard anybody stand up and say, I'm thank God that I got laid off. Isn't God wonderful? I'm thanking God that I got fired. Woohoo! No, what do we say? Hey, thank God that I got the promotion. I want to give God praise because he gave me the raise. Isn't God good? What we are saying? We're saying this. I'm thanking God only when I change the season to what I want to be, and we're missing all of the opportunities to give God thanks in the season that He perfectly placed us in. Says, I've made it beautiful. I've made it a time to rejoice. Wherever you're in, God has His hand. He says, look, it's part of my plan, and there's a reason to rejoice. So I want to go through some seasons. And I would just want to help us to start to think and view where we're at in a different perspective, to maybe kickstart something in you, because God is trying to get a hold of you and saying, hey, don't be down. You need to be rejoicing. Hey, don't be depressed thinking that you're looking ugly. You're beautiful. Hey, don't be confused thinking you're not where you need to be. You're exactly where I placed you. You're part of the plan that I laid out. Stop looking at it from the wrong perspective and look at where I've placed you. So I want to go through just a couple seasons and then we'll be done. I'm preaching short, and for some of you, that's a reason for you to cheer up today. All right. So the first one is this, the spring. Let's just use this as spring. Some of you are in a season of spring. Okay. Think about spring. What is spring? Spring is wet. It's muddy, right? It's not summer. Okay. Spring is a time when weather can be great one day and absolutely horrible the next. Wasn't it fun this year, right? Spring is like we'd have like 60, you know, degree one day and then like 4 inches of snow the next day. It's all over the place. All kinds of change going on in spring, right? Things are happening. Things are thawing. Things are messy and muddy. But also, spring is a time where things begin to grow. New opportunities. Some of you are in a season of spring in your life right now. It's crazy messy. It's all over the place. Things are changing one day and changing the next. You are all over the place, but God is birthing something new in you right now. You've been complaining that it's not summer. You've been complaining about the mess, and you've been missing the buds. And the reason that God has you in this time, He's saying, I am trying to create something brand new in your life. And this is the environment that it happens. Yeah, it's messy. Yeah, it's muddy. Yeah, it's crazy right now and changes all over. But you're perfectly where I want you to be. Because if you will just stop and look at your life and say, ooh, God is creating something new in me. Hey, there's something I didn't see before. Hey, God is trying to birth something new. There's a new opportunity for me. There's a new ministry. There's a new hope. There's something new. It's not fully there yet, but wow, God is opening a door in my life right now. Stop praying for summer and stop praying against all of the changes in the season that you're at. God, take away the mud. God, take away the rain. And begin to realize what God is doing and start thanking God, Lord, you're creating buds in me. You're creating new things in me. I can rejoice in the middle of the season I'm at. And you look at the picture of your life and what's it look like? It looks like a big mud field. It's muddy and it's raining and it's sunny and it's just sloppy and it's all over the ground. But if you look close, there's these little green buds starting to pop up. And you go, look at that picture. It looks like a big mud field. But look close. There's potential. And God has you right where He needs you because He is birthing something brand new in you. And when you stop and realize and see it from the season's perspective, the reason for the season, you're like, thank you, God, for the mud. Thank you, God, for the rain. Thank you, God, for the craziness right now because I'm seeing what you're doing. You brought me here because you're creating something new in my life, and I'm going to thank you. It's beautiful. This time in my life is beautiful. And so I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth, even though it's muddy and rainy and crazy, because He is birthing something new. Some of you are in a time of spring. Time of spring. Turn to somebody and tell them, spring is a great season. It's a beautiful season. It's a beautiful season. Some of you are in a time of summer. Ah, this is where we all want to be. I mean, you often wonder, it's like, God, why did you create a round planet? Really what we want is to all live on the equator. I mean, if it was just one big flat thing, it wouldn't be great. It's like summer every day, 82, you know. The Dreen and Helen and some of their family asked for me to pray for them this week as they were traveling. They said, pray for us. We're going to Hawaii and for a time. And I'm like, I'm struggling with that a little bit. Just being honest. Yeah, I'll pray that you have a safe trip, but I'm praying that now I got to deal with jealousy in my heart. You know, it's like really? And I know what they meant, and we want them to have a safe trip. These two ladies have been through a very tough time, and God provides a time of summer. And I'm thankful for times of summer. Aren't you thankful for times of summer in your life? When you wake up in the morning and you go, man, I really don't got anything to worry about today. When you go outside in your life and you go, whoo, it's a beautiful day. When the kids are acting great, when the job is secure, when there's blessings, man, we love summer. We love summer. Summer's a time when we testify about, woo, God is good, and it's warm and nice and sunny, and oh, loving life. This is why I became a Christian, right? Let's be honest, right? Because, oh, here's the danger. We began to use summer as the grading system for everything else. And if it ain't summer, then something must be wrong. If it ain't sunny and warm, then something must be wrong. Somebody must have dropped the ball someplace, either me or God. And so, Lord, make me right, and then you get on the ball too. Let's just get this right. Summer is where we want to go. Summer is where we want to live. Summer is where we think that God's perfect will has us. But you know, the same God that created summer created all the other seasons too. And if we just had summer all the time, that would not work as much as we would want it. Can you imagine? It's going to be 80 today, 80 tomorrow, January 1st, 80. And as much as we're going, woo, thank you, God. You know what? You know what happened? We'd all starve to death. We'd die. It wouldn't work. It'd be horrible. That wasn't God's plan. God made seasons for a reason, and every season is perfect in God's plan. If we say we want God's will, then we must show ourselves willing to live by God's way. And if God loves us in summer, He loves us just as much in the other seasons as well. God doesn't hate you when it rains. God is not ignoring you when it's not the summertime in our life. And in these times, we thank God for them. We enjoy them. We recognize that they are from God. But understand this, it's just a season. It's just a season. Just because things are going right in your life doesn't mean that God is saying, well, this is it, you've arrived. That is a season that we pass through. And what we need to do, and this is number one, make sure that you're celebrating. Make sure that you're worshiping, because these are blessings, blessed times. These are good times from our perspective. But here's the thing that you need to remember in this season is this. Don't use this as the mark for your other seasons. Recognize it for what it is. It's a season. It's a time. Some of you are in summer. Thank God for that. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. But don't anchor your whole life to a season, because God's got greater things ahead, and He's got to put you through different seasons to get there. Trust Him. Turn to somebody and say, I love summer, but it's just a season. Another season you might be in is fall. We're all kind of heading into this, right? Fall is a time of harvest. Fall is a time where, you know, we harvest those things that grew during summer, but it's also a time of where things begin to die. Things begin to lessen. Things that were once healthy all of a sudden start looking unhealthy. Things that used to be so beautiful from one season's perspective begin to look out of season. They lose the luster of what one season said was beautiful. But understand, it's part of the perfect season that God has. Fall is a time when we begin to harvest and share what grew in the summer. Even if it means a dying to ourself. Some of you are in a fall season where God has blessed, and there is an overabundance because of the harvest that He provided. And God is saying, I need you to step out of the limelight and begin to serve others. I need you to step down and begin to give what I gave to you. Become a blessing to others. But God, that might mean a lessening of me. Absolutely. It's perfectly part of the season. That I've blessed you, that I've resourced you. Now, your job in this season is to allow that area to begin to wither from your perspective, but you become a blessing to so many more outside of yourself. But yet it can seem very difficult if we use another season to judge. It can seem like out of sorts when we use another season to judge, when we begin to die to ourselves so that we can help others. That God begins to pull back. That God begins to lessen. And he says, now it's time to serve. Now it's time to work. Now it's time to extend yourself. But God, I just want to be blessed. God, I just want to live in the sunshine of your life. You are the sunshine of my life. I don't even know that's a Christian song, is it? But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, just let me be green and grow and beautiful. And God says, no, I'm going to let some things die in you so that you can be a benefit and a blessing to the lives of others. And you're like, God, I'm dying here. And he's like, yeah, absolutely. But look at the effect that you're having around you. And when we begin to see our lives from a fall perspective, we say, God, you're pulling some things back, but God, look at how I'm ministering into the lives of others. God, I'm out of the limelight now. God, it looks like part of me are dying and drying up, but look at how I'm feeding others. Look at how I'm blessing others. Look at how I'm extending and multiplying what you gave in me. And God, even though it looks like I'm out of season, look at the effect that I'm having. And I can say in this season, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And God saying, I've got you exactly where I want you. See the reason for the season. Turn to somebody and tell them, fall is beautiful. Fall is beautiful. Some of you are in a fall season right now, wondering, God, what are you doing? And God's saying, hey, you're right where I want you. Rejoice. You're beautiful. You're perfect. You're right in the plan. Don't freak out. It's part of it. We get to the last one, which is winter. We have a collective burr and a collective shudder. Because we know this. When people say, I love winter, they're lying. And we should pray for them. I mean, because winter is cold. Winter is where, you know, we feel isolated. We get cabin fever. No one ever says cabin fever in the summer, do they? Going to the cabin on the lake this summer, getting cabin fever. Right? Well, you should clean your cabin out more, I mean, if that's the case. But cabin fever has nothing to do with the cabin on the lake. Cabin fever means I'm isolated and alone in the middle of this season. That I feel cold. Things break. Things are hard to start. Things are it just seems like just trying to bundle up just to stay there. Just people are meaner. It's tough. Everything's so fragile. It's where we lose things, where things die. It's times where we just feel so alone. That may be where you're at. Winter is a season where all of those things that grew, all of those things that were part of a plant that weren't healthy or strong begin to break off. That the weight of what winter brings often causes branches to break off that aren't healthy and things to fall, things to lose part of what that plant was in the winter season. It's hard. It's hard. And we say, okay, I understand the other seasons. You made a good, pretty good point. I love summer. Spring, oh yeah, it's kind of, it's still optimistic, right? Fall, okay, yeah, we're helping other people. But winter, where is that in my life? How can I rejoice in times like that? Winter is a time where a plant, as it loses things, it loses those things that are no longer necessary. It loses those things that were once part of that life, but are not needed moving forward. In fact, if they remain, they become a hindrance. And by losing those things that were once a vibrant part of the plant, vibrant part of that tree, they break, they create a wound, but yet they create the potential for further growth. The other thing that I was amazed when I began to study this is that during winter, diseased parts of the plant can't survive. And it's a plant's defense mechanism that those things that were diseased, those things that could cause the plant to die in the winter season so often become brittle, become dried up, and break off. And it's a time for the plant to heal. It's a plant to go back to what it is supposed to be. That focusing again on that core so that when I'm through this, I'm coming out leaner. I'm coming out focused. I'm coming out with the purpose of there's more to be done. But it's a tough season. I'm talking to some people here. You're in a season of winter right now. That there's some things in your life that you're losing. There's some parts of your life that used to be live and vibrant that are drying up and they're falling off and you're going, what is going on? Because when I look at myself in light of summer, I am so far away from where I used to be. I used to be bendable and flexible, and now it just seems like anytime the wind blows, something breaks. I used to be green and vibrant, and now I am bare and stripped. That I used to be just warm and sunny and just this leafy and beautiful and full of color, and now I am dark and monochromatic and stark. And that's where some of you are, and you need to realize there is a reason for this season that God is saying, I'm bringing you back to your core. I'm getting rid of some of those things that don't matter, that if they stay there, they're going to kill you. And so I'm putting you through a season where I can find, you can find healing. We're going to strip some of those things that are unnecessary. They're going to slow you down. They're going to cause me a hindrance later on. So I'm allowing them to become taken away. It's not an easy season. But when you see the reason for it, it's also a time where a plant resets. And this has blew me away. I've got a friend I used to work with. His name is Steve McElwam. And remember, you've been to his orchards and family's orchards, McElwam apples. He's telling me this. He says, you know what? He says, here's the thing. If we don't have a long enough winter, we have a horrible harvest. He says, these plants need a certain amount of cold, barren, freezing days for it to reset, for it to heal, for it to get rid of the disease, for all those old things to break off. He says, so you know what? We're thankful for winter. We hate warm winter days. When I'm focused, understand this, when I'm focused on the harvest, because I serve the Lord of the harvest, I realize that there is a reason for every season that God places me in, and each one says, it's because I'm producing something in you. That I've got to take you through spring and summer and fall and winter. I'm not abandoning you. I'm not angry with you. You're perfect where you are at, but would you just stop and realize that what I am doing in you is part of my plan, and when you see it from the season that you are in, stop using summer as your measurement. If you're in the middle of winter, see what God is doing. God, you are perfecting me. God, I'm coming back and seeing what is truly important in my life. I'm allowing those exterior things to fall off, and it's just you and me. I am strengthening who I am, and you are resetting me because you are not done with me. And so even in the midst of this cold winter, I will rejoice in the Lord always. His praise will continually be in my mouth. When we understand the reason for the season, we have the ability to rejoice. That is why in the New Testament, Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica. He says, give thanks in what? In all circumstances. What? Yeah. In every season, give thanks. Why? For this is God's plan. This is His will. This is how it all works. Give thanks. Rejoice. A time to worship. If I'm in spring, if I'm in summer, if I'm in fall, if I'm in winter, if I'm in hurricane season, if I'm in drought season, if I'm in flood season, doesn't matter. In all circumstances, give thanks. Because God has you perfectly where you need to be. And when we see that, we can rejoice. So here's my message. I said all this to say this. Would you stop beating yourself up? Would you stop living in the misery of trying to judge where you're at based upon a season that you're not in? And would you realize that God is moving you forward? That you are perfectly where you need to be. And would you start looking at what God is doing in your season right now? What is God doing in me right now? And begin to worship in that, and you will begin to change your perspective that God is a God not of just one season, but He's the Lord of the harvest, which means all things work. Oh, I love that verse. What? Together. You mean winter? Yeah. You mean spring? Yeah. You mean fall? Yeah. Well, we know summer works because that's where God lives, right? All things work together. Do you begin to see how God works? How God moves? How God is moving you from season to season because He hasn't given up on you? You're still part of the plan. And you're not finished yet. That's why I want to close with this verse. It's found in Philippians chapter 1. It says this, I am certain that God who what? Began the good work in you will continue His work until it's finally finished when Jesus Christ returns. So here's the deal. Here's the good news, right? Here's when God is going to be done with you. At the rapture or your funeral. Until then, you're going to keep going through seasons. Until Jesus shows up, ba-bop, it's the rapture. Woohoo, we're home. Or until you fall over, dead. And God says, you're done. Great job. Until then, expect seasons. Expect them. Celebrate seasons. Because God is saying, I'm not done with you yet. You're going to get better. I've got more for you. And I know you love it here in the sunny summer, but I'm going to move you into fall. And I know you're serving, but you know what? I'm going to move you into a time where you feel alone and isolated, but I'm going to become so necessary in your life. Because guess what? Then I'm going to move you into a time it's wet and muddy and just dirty, but I'm going to start seeing new opportunities in your life begin to appear, and we're just going to keep going from season to season. Now, here's the crazy thing is sometimes God moves us from winter to summer to fall to spring, and He just moves us all over the place. It's crazy. It's like, wait a second. I was in spring. I'm expecting summer. I went from spring right to winter. Guess what that's called? Life, okay? We don't know, but we know that here's the thing, that God loves you. God cares about you. And He's saying, I'm giving you a reason to be joyful in every situation. And here's the beauty of it is, God doesn't say, I want you to ignore your circumstances and that's how you'll be happy. I want you to just pretend like it's summer. I know it's 30 below and everything's breaking off of me and I feel alone, but just think warm thoughts. Think warm thoughts. God does not want you to be delusional. He says, if you will just stop and enjoy the season where you're at, you will have so many reasons to rejoice where you're at. Summer will come. There will be a time of blessing. Guess what? It'll come. Okay? That's fine. But also, here's the deal. There is no less reason to celebrate in spring or fall and winter than summer. We should be worshiping God and celebrating what God is doing in those seasons just as much. Because here's the thing. It's all part of our life. And God's moving you. So let me speak to somebody this morning. You came here today and you were down on yourself. You were wrestling. You're looking at life and going, what is going on? Why is my life seem like it's so out of sorts? How come it can't be like it was? And you were wondering, does God hate me? Is God mad at me? Am I dropping the ball someplace? Am I doing what I not to be doing? God, I'm trying to do what I know to do, but why is my life falling apart like this? God is trying to tell you, wait a second, you're looking at it wrong. This is a beautiful picture because this flower is perfect in the way that God created it to be. And the picture of your life right now is perfect in the way that God created it to be. And it's reason for you, when you understand it, to say, I will rejoice in the Lord always. His praise will continually be in my You're beautiful. You're beautiful. You're a beautiful picture of where God has you today. And that's a reason to rejoice. Can we stand and just thank God for that?